Welcome back to Romantasy, a podcast created by Dipsy. I'm your host and CEO and co-founder at Dipsy, Faye Keegan. This week on Romantasy, we'll be listening to episode 3 of Pinedale Falls. Before we get into it, gotta remind ya, we have a lot more episodes like this available right now on the Dipsy app. We just release a small amount on this podcast. There's much more Romantasy where this came from. You can use code Romantasy at dipsystories.com to get 30 days free and explore our entire library of stories made by us. Just go to dipsystories.com/romantasy. That's dipsystories.com/romantasy for 30 days free. Every story on the Dipsy app is written, crafted, recorded, produced by us to create the best possible experience. There's nothing else really like it in the world. So if you like what you're listening to here, there's a lot more where that came from. Just check out the app. If you've been following along, you'll know that last week we listened to episode 2 of Pinedale Falls, and I talked about how we on the team agreed that the number one hottest thing about werewolves was the animal within, the beast inside, the primal instinct barely contained by the human exterior. So in episode 2, we really explore that angle on werewolves. We put Wilder out under the open sky, under the full moon, out in the open wilderness, and let him be an animal in his natural habitat. But the number 2 hottest thing about werewolves, after number 1, the animal within, is pack dynamics. Pack dynamics allow us to play around with really fun themes like jealousy and ownership and possessiveness and competition and challenges and alpha dynamics. It's just a very fertile ground for storytelling. And in this episode of Pinedale Falls, episode 3, we really lean into that exploration and that landscape for the story. But I won't give any more away. Here is episode 3 of Pinedale Falls.
Wilder, get down here, Dan called from the kitchen. The command spurred my body into action, and I threw back my covers and jumped out of bed. I was real annoyed as I put on my flannel. He didn't need to bark orders at me first thing in the morning for no goddamn reason, flexing his alpha power just to make a point. I barely had a chance to tie up my work boots, and he was calling me again. The alpha command even heavier in his voice. I growled under my breath, but obeyed. I had no other option. As I rushed down the stairs, spurred forward by the command, the pack's thoughts infiltrated mine. It was like having 10 different TVs playing at once. A few pack members were hanging in the kitchen. Luke, Kai, and Dakota were making breakfast with Dan. They were joking about the veil between the natural and supernatural world being especially thin around Halloween, saying that the humans in town better watch out. They weren't wrong. Our powers and senses got stronger this time of year. We were more wolfy than usual. Maybe that explained why Dan seemed to have some sense that something had gone down between us. Or maybe the extra surge of supernatural power was just making him into more a fucking mongrel pain in my ass than usual. It seemed like ever since I'd gotten back from fixing the fence with you and we had our little incident, Dan had taken to ordering me around way more than usual. I'd been careful to shield my thoughts from him, and I'd taken to giving you a real cold shoulder for the past week. I didn't want him thinking I was interested in you. It was safer for me and for you if he didn't think his claim on you was threatened. "Smells good," I grumbled. "Don't think you're getting any of this," Dakota teased. "Greedy mutt," I teased, pushing his shoulder. I grabbed a piece of bacon and ate it before he could stop me. "We missed you last full moon," Kai said. "Heard you were babysitting Dan's pet." Dan, Dakota, and Luke laughed, but my blood boiled and my fists curled. I had to remind myself to breathe deeply so I wouldn't suddenly turn from the rage. I snarled. "Easy does it," Dan warned, and a sudden calmness settled over the pack, myself included. "Ain't no need to defend the lady's honor, Wilder. She ain't yours to protect. I can handle that all on my own." I suppressed another growl. "Head on down to the barn. The stalls need mucking," he said with a sneer. I poured a cup of coffee into a chipped mug and slinked out of the house, I could hear the pack laughing in my mind all the way down the hill and across the field. That's probably why I didn't notice you until I nearly walked right into the ladder you had leaned against the barn beams. You were up on the top rung, stringing something around the wood. It took me a second to notice what it was, but when I did, I groaned. They were paper ghosts. What was it with humans and Halloween? Stupid fucking holiday, I muttered under my breath. What was that, Wilder? You asked. What the hell are you doing up there? What does it look like? You asked dryly. I'm decorating for the Halloween party. Don't you have any real work to do? I grumbled. I could feel you rolling your eyes at me from 10 feet away. To be fair, I'd been an ass to you all week long. I wish that I could explain why. But what was I supposed to say? Sorry I've been so rude to you. I'm a werewolf. I've been having dreams of you each night since we were together. And if my alpha finds out what we did, he'll lose his goddamn mind and rip me to shreds. I laughed at the thought. What's so funny? You asked as you climbed down the rungs. Nothing, I said. All right, Mr. Mysterious. Do you want my help with the horses or what? The thought of spending an hour working side by side seemed like both the absolute best and worst thing I could imagine. I missed your easy company. And you were real helpful, too. You had a real way with all the horses, and your sweet smile soothed me. On the other hand, the mere scent of you was enough to make my blood blaze with desire and make me want to go all animal on you. And if it made our connection any more obvious than it already was. I was afraid of what Dan would do. To me, or to you. So I stuck to my guns and told you no, that I didn't need your help. I steeled myself for your hurt expression, expecting to see your face fall at my unfriendliness. But instead, your cheeks flushed red and you crossed your arms over your chest. What's your problem, Wilder? I don't know what you mean, I said. It's pretty clear you have a problem with me. First you ignore me, then you're all sweet to me out camping, and now you're back to pretending I don't exist. You weren't wrong, of course. The problem was there was no way for me to tell you that keeping my distance was my only way of keeping you safe from an unhinged alpha at the peak of his power. I sighed and shrugged, but that did nothing to cool your anger. You're not going to explain to me what the hell is going on, you said. I wish I could, but I can't. It's complicated. You know, it's sad because I actually liked you, Wilder. But you go ahead and keep your secrets. And do me a favor. The next time you feel like being nice to me again, just don't. Because I'm not interested in this hot and cold thing with you. You stormed off, stomping through the barn doors and kicking up a cloud of dust behind you. That night, I heard you in Dan's bedroom again. Heard your hands on his belt buckle, the moans on your lips, and his growl in your ear. I had to leave the house immediately, tearing off my clothes before I even reached the edge of the forest. I ran through the woods until the sun rose over the mountains. I might have to obey the guy, but I didn't trust him, and definitely not with someone as precious as you. Each night after that, I didn't bother even trying to sleep at the ranch. As soon as the sun went down, I'd shift, run for miles, and bunker down in the woods for the night. I'd much rather spend the night in my animal form under the clear and starry October sky than hear the two of you together. I did my best to keep my distance from you on the ranch, and with all the space it was easy enough. And you seemed to be doing your part avoiding me, too. The problem was the party. Each year, Dan threw a huge Halloween party in the barn. The pack and their mates would come over for a night of supernatural debauchery. Mostly it was the usual fun, drinking too much, strumming guitars, and telling tall tales. Everyone would gather around the bonfire, telling the old stories of our kind. I tolerated it year after year, but this time I could barely stomach the thought of going. The thought of seeing you with Dan, even just the idea of his arm around you, made my primal instincts roar and the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I had no plans of being anywhere near that party. I decided I'd go to the jug and drink with the regular old humans there. So on Halloween night, as I made my way to my truck, I didn't bother to look over my shoulder. I wanted to be as far away as I could get. I could hear the hum of the party starting up in the barn as I made my way down the long driveway and headed into town. I ordered a beer and got to drinking. I was working on my first and talking with some locals, throwing darts and sipping beer when the strangest thing happened. I heard your voice in my head. It was as loud and clear as if you were standing right next to me. I nearly dropped the bottle in my hand. I thought I was going crazy. But then I heard it again. Wilder, where are you? Not only could I hear you clearly, but you sounded nervous. I rushed to my truck. I didn't care if I couldn't explain it. If there was a chance you were in danger and I wasn't going to let anything happen to you. I sped through town and took the turns on the back roads way too tight. My heart was beating fast and my pulse was racing, but I had to be careful to keep my body in check so that I wouldn't turn while driving. The adrenaline pumped through my system and my senses got even sharper. I careened up the drive, spitting gravel, and I pulled the truck right up to the barn and slammed the door behind me. Then I ran towards the party, half expecting to see Dan's wolfy mouth about to take a bite out of you. I sprinted through the open doors of the barn and saw you next to Dan, his arm wrapped tightly around your waist. But as soon as your eyes landed on me, you looked relieved. "Get your fucking hands off of her," I roared. And for a moment, it was like the entire party froze. Everyone was staring at the three of us. It got quiet then. You could hear the sound of the fire crackling as the pack turned their eyes and ears on us. "What's the matter, Wilder?" I said. "Take your hands off of her." "Or what?" he snarled. "I'll make you." Dan laughed then. "I think you forgot who gives orders around here," he said. "It's not safe for her here." "You're drinking too much. You could..." "I could what?" he interrupted. "You think I'm going to turn and put her in danger?" I couldn't believe he was so blatantly talking about our secret in front of a human. "Leave, Wilder," he commanded. And my body moved to obey, but I resisted the feeling. "No," I said through gritted teeth. Resisting the alpha command for longer than a moment was like enduring the pain of 100 knives dug into every inch of my skin. "That's a command," Dan said, his voice getting even lower, softer, but somehow even more threatening and dominant. Then I watched as you shrugged Dan's arm from around you and stepped towards me. You were trying to get in between us, to stop the fight that was about to break out. Everything slowed down then, like I was seeing the moment frame by frame. Dan pushed you out of the way so he could get closer to me and you fell to the ground. Something in me snapped when you hit the floor. Red-hot anger erupted in my veins. I sprung forward to protect you and he swung at me. I barely avoided it, ducking under his fist. I lunged for his middle, knocking him to the floor. He fought back, getting in a good hit on my ribs, and I clocked him in the eye. We rolled and tumbled, fighting to pin the other to the ground. Usually the pack would have jumped in, but when it came to me and Dan, they knew they had to stand back and watch. Dimly I could hear you calling my name, but I had to focus on the fight in front of me. Both Dan and I were born brawlers, and the tension between us had been building for years. This was the fight we'd both been waiting for. My body surged with strength I'd never felt before. All my life, Dan had been stronger, bigger than me. But all of a sudden, I had an edge on him. And what felt long, but was probably only a minute or two, I had him underneath me. My knee in the middle of his back and my hand holding his head down. He growled, but my hold was solid. Now that I was on top, I could hold him down like he was nothing. And damn if it didn't feel good to finally do it. "She doesn't belong to you, you fucking dog. And you'll never, ever fucking touch her again." My voice was heavy with the authority of an alpha command. And only then did I fully realize what I had done. I'd finally fulfilled the destiny of my bloodline, the duty I'd spent a lifetime shirking. It was me who was the rightful alpha of our pack. And when my father passed, it was supposed to be me who assumed the role. But I'd wanted none of that power or control, so it passed on to Dan. But when a wolf disobeys a command and fights the alpha, He can steal the position. I'd challenged, and I'd won. Dan lay on the ground before me, completely powerless, obedient to my orders. "Stay there," I commanded him, then glanced around at the rest of the pack, my pack, and said, "We're leaving." Before I could even think it through, I swept you up into my arms and carried you out into the cool night air. The thoughts of the pack were rumbling loud in my mind. A new alpha, a new era. It was too much, too loud. We had to get away. I half expected you to tell me to put you down, but you held on to me tight. I ran with you until we were far, far away from the barn. I ran on instinct alone, only putting you carefully back on the ground when we were deep within the forest. It felt like there was a storm inside of me. My thoughts as loud as thunderclaps and anger flashing like lightning. It took every ounce of my control to keep the wolf inside me at bay. "You have to get away from me, away from here," I said. "Leave, run, go from here as far as you can," I commanded. "If you go straight east from here, you'll hit the road and you can follow that to town. But instead of running away, you stayed put." "Tell me why I should run," you said defiantly. "Because I could hurt you." "You won't," you said. "You don't understand." You scoffed and stepped closer to me. The smell of you was too much to bear. I wanted to tackle you to the ground, to breathe in your scent, to take you right there on the forest floor, to fuck you until you were screaming my name loud enough for the entire pack to hear, for Dan to hear. These thoughts, these animal thoughts, they were wrong. I shouldn't be having them, but they wouldn't stop. I didn't want you to see me like this. "Make me understand," you said. I struggled to find the words. "The way I feel for you. It's too intense. I want to make you mine." You paused for a moment, thinking, and then said, "What if that's what I want?" "You don't know what I mean," I said. "Then show me. Take me, Wilder." You reached out, grabbing the front of my shirt and tugging towards you. "And don't be fucking gentle," you said with a wicked grin, reaching your other hand around to the back of my head and tugging my hair. It was all I needed to hear to unleash myself. With supernatural strength and speed, I tackled you to the ground, pinning you to the moss. "Like this?" I asked. "That's all you got," you teased. I grabbed your wrists and pinned them above your head as my knees pushed your legs farther apart. I held them there as you pulled playfully against me. I ran my teeth and lips down your arms, breathing in deep the smell of you I'd resisted for so long. Then I sucked on the skin right below your ear. Finally, I kissed your sweet lips, biting your lower lip and growling into your mouth with pleasure. You bit me back, daring me to rise to your challenge. You were pushing your hips up, grinding your body against me, and my dick was already hard, aching and throbbing to be inside you. "Please, Wilder," you moaned, and the sound of my name in your mouth nearly made me turn. I tore at your clothes with my teeth, my hands, ripping them to shreds until you were spread open naked in front of me. Then I kissed down your body, worshiping every single fucking inch of you. I ducked my head between your soft thighs and breathed in the scent of you before sliding my tongue between your lips. I lapped up your sweet, salty wetness. I swear I could have swallowed you whole. Then I teased your clit with the tip of my tongue and you started writhing and shaking, moaning my name over and over. You curled your fingers into my hair, pressing my face harder against your pussy, and I was happy to oblige. I used my hands to pin your legs down, spreading you open even wider for me. You kept bucking your hips up, and I knew you were getting close. I wanted to feel you come like that, taste you as you came, but you were having none of it. "I want you to fuck me, Wilder," you begged. "Don't hold back." My dick throbbed painfully. My need for you was primal and all-encompassing. I grabbed your hips roughly, flipping you so that you were on your hands and knees in front of me. You dropped down to your elbows and whimpered my name again. I pulled your hips back so you were right up against me, but didn't put myself inside of you yet. Then I grabbed my dick and dragged it against your slickness. You moaned loudly and begged me to fill you up. Each time you said please, I had to grit my teeth to stop myself from shifting. It was almost too much, the pressure of it all. The alpha energy coursing through me was new, powerful, hungry for more. I asked you if you liked it when I teased your pretty pussy, and you begged me for more and more. I nudged your knees open even wider with my legs, and finally, I pushed the tip of my dick inside you. I wanted to fuck you hard, but I would need to go slow to get you used to the size of me. I held onto your hips, and inch by inch, I slid inside of you. You gasped, then relaxed, getting comfortable, groaning at the size of me. And then I rocked forward, thrusting into you slowly. "Wilder," you gasped. "Don't be so gentle." Then I started moving faster, pumping into you hard. With each stroke, I pulled your hips back so that I filled you completely. The soft, warm wetness was testing my control. I tensed each of my muscles to hold myself steady, but they were brimming with my new strength. "Harder," you said again. And finally, I stopped holding back. I grabbed a fistful of your hair, pulling your head back as I pounded into you. Your eyes were closed in ecstasy, and I could feel the pleasure mounting in your body just as it was mounting in mine. I knew it would take every ounce of my self-control to stop myself from turning when I finally came, and it didn't help when you said you wanted me to fill you up with my fucking cum. Turns out you were near as wild as I was. I uncurled my hand from your hair and wrapped it around your middle, teasing your clit with my fingers as I thrust it deep inside you, pressing hard on the front of you while I pounded into you. A few strokes like that and you came undone. Your body shook and tensed as the waves of pleasure rocked through you and you screamed my name into the still night air. Feeling you like that was too much. I went to pull out of you as I was about to come, but you reached back, keeping me inside. There was no danger of werewolf-human pregnancy unless bonded, so I let myself go. Finally bursting and exploding inside of you, the sweet release I'd been waiting so long for. I collapsed on top of you and rolled us onto your side so I was wrapped around you. The two of us were breathing real heavily for a minute. As I held you tight against my warm chest, I kissed your head, your shoulder, your cheeks. I was never, ever going to let anything hurt you.